Hello and welcome back again to Planet Product Owner. This is your host, Scott. Can you believe that this is the season five finale? It's hard to believe that this thing is in season five and that we've gotten through it. I know it's kind of late in November right now when I'm publishing this, but I just wanted to give thanks for a minute to all of my faithful listeners, subscribers, supporters, folks who are spreading the word about this wonderful podcast that you get for free, because you guys are the ones really promoting it. I'm not promoting it at all, really hardly at all. Lately, I've gotten some more subscribers on YouTube, which is great. I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of a retro here real quick, just for the show before we get started into today's content. So just like any retrospective, I mean, there are some good things that we've been doing here and there are some not so good things that we've been doing here. And I want to be very honest with you about it as the listeners, because you guys have been on the journey with me now for quite some time. Again, five seasons in. It doesn't matter if you're a new product owner just now catching this podcast, or if you've been with me since the very beginning of the early terrible audio days and the voice cracking and the air noises and all of that stuff in between and the long pauses. So listen, I just wanted to thank you again for this and keep sharing the word. So let's talk a little bit about the retro here and what I've learned. So some of the good things that I think have been going with Planet Product Owner is the artful side and the stories, like my storytelling. I've gotten good feedback on that every time. So I got to get back to some basics here, right? Some other things are the day-to-day practical tips that you walk away with. You find a lot of that on here too. At least you used to. more on that in a minute. The personal take on a lot of these things and my opinions about some of the things that we do and don't do and should do and shouldn't do, really, you know, in our organizations. I think you guys really appreciate those too, because it helps with your thinking pattern. Something good that happened this season was actually the Patreon supporters. That was good. However, that's not going to be long lived. I'm going to go to that. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but I did want to thank you because it helped me secure some equipment. I got to meet some wonderful people and do some individual one-on-one coaching with you guys, and you know who you are. I appreciate your support through that. It's not something that I'm going to keep doing. I'll get to that in a little bit later into the retro here. But in any event, I did want to thank you for that. It has been tremendous, and I have really enjoyed, again, meeting you and working with you individually. It's been fantastic. And finally, what is good, what's going well, some of the good things about this show is that the listeners, I mean, you're supporting this. You are the ones that are advertising and promoting it. So I'll take my good stuff down, and I can't thank you again enough. Now let's talk about some of the things that were not so good. I've gotten some feedback here, the education and the academic side and the book side of this thing. It's great as long as I am sharing a story with it or making it real. I don't want this to be purely educational or get you through an exam or something like that. That's why I started the podcast to begin with, was to get us away from that and to get us down the line of a different kind of mindset and our approach and our practice. So I kind of veered away from the art. That's really one of these things that I consider not so good, right? Not going very well. The other thing that wasn't so good, I think, is that I tried different formats of presentation. So I did the YouTube thing. I did the Patreon thing. I also put videos up here. So those were things that I tried, and they just didn't really resonate, didn't do so well. So let's talk about what we're going to start, stop, and keep. All right. And again, this is kind of a retro for you. So one thing I'm going to stop is Patreon. I'm going to shut that down. I appreciate your support again. I really thank you for that. It's helped me again secure some equipment for next season. I got some plans for it, and that's going to be a lot of fun. The other thing I'm going to stop is really focusing more on kind of the academic side and just the pure education side without having some real-world examples and some real-world stuff there going on for you. Something I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep doing YouTube. It's going to be probably limited exposure into that, so you can feel free to share the word about it. I think there are some helpful things in there that you finally get to take screenshots of and that sort of thing, but, you know, kind of limited there, I think. One thing that I'll definitely keep doing is no ads. I don't want to run ads on the podcast. I don't care about the monetization part. I really don't. This thing started out as a hobby to me, and I want to kind of keep it that way. Let's talk about some things that we're going to start doing, though. I am going to start inviting some guests, limited amounts because I don't care for the format and I don't think you guys do either. However, here's the thing. Some of the candidates that I have on the list here are ones that are going to be very entertaining. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get back to our roots and talk about some of these things that drive us crazy and some ways that we can work around it. That's really what I want to get back to. The other thing I recognized is that something I need to start doing here, I think, on the show is that many of you who have been on the journey since the beginning of this show, in the beginning of this journey with me, back in the old audio days again, where there's a lot of dead space and audio crackling and a lot of white noise in the background, you guys have probably progressed into new roles. And so what I want to do is I want to still stay real and stay true to the product owner in the spirit of that here. But now I want us to look more into these elevated roles. Like if you're in the middle of your transformation, or if you're leading that, or if you're in the program level already in a product manager role or something of the like, or even if you're a scrum master or an RTE at this point, I want to help you with that. And so some of the guests that I have planned to come onto the show starting in season six, they're going to help us get to that. And one thing I got to start doing again is just really simply getting back to the art. Sometimes it's just boiling it down to the fundamentals. And those are the things that I really want to do and get back to that, because that's what made the show successful. And that's what you guys like. And that's what you want. I'm hearing you. I feel you. And I did go astray for a little while. I know I did. Okay. But I'm hoping that a lot of you guys got something from those episodes. I know many of you did for sure, but I do want to get back to what it was that we started in the beginning of this journey. So with that said, I have some content today. I'm going to summarize something that we've covered in a previous episode for Scrum Masters today, since a lot of people are probably tuning in to the season finale here. And I want to introduce a few things for the product owner here that I don't think I've covered yet. So sit back, buckle up, and let's get to Planet Product Owner. Hello again, Scrum Masters. Oh, holy Scrum Masters. And product owners, by the way, look, I know you guys are listening. As you guys are rounding out your year, your calendar year, right? We're winding down for the holidays, and everybody's listening to this over the holiday break, I hope. And I hope you're having a great time with your families and your loved ones and your dogs and whatever else is going on with you. But look, Scrum Master, I want to recap something from a previous episode that I'd published a little while back on the three C's of coaching for the Scrum Masters. And in that episode, I kind of broke down these three C's: cadence, communication, and commitment. I really want you to kind of think in terms of, okay, in these three areas, how can the product owner help me? Let me give you an example. So as far as cadence is concerned, what I mean by cadence, I'm talking about, what is keeping the team from becoming more predictable in their delivery or in their results or in their planning even? And it doesn't always have to be around delivery either. I mean, we talk about delivery a lot and we talk about delivering potentially shippable code. It doesn't always have to revolve around just strictly the delivery. What about the cadence of our other events or ceremonies that we're handling? Is there a way that we can increase flow when it comes to that? So when we talk about the cadence piece of it, what are some of the areas that you and the product owner can kind of sit around a coffee table or whatever, or a break room and or lunch or whatever, right? And say, listen, product owner, here are some areas that I need your help with as it relates to cadence. And when we think of that, and we think of that first C there that we're talking about for coaching, what we're hoping to find there is that we're making some efficiencies in our cadence. So for example, are there some work sessions or events or ceremonies that the full team does not need to be involved in, right? If that's the case, then let's go out and update our working agreement so the team understands and everybody else, and it's socialized, right? They understand that, hey, the full team's not going to be involved with these work sessions anymore because it doesn't add value to our work in progress. All of that is around cadence, okay? So sit back with your product owner, figure out a plan here around just coaching the product owner, coaching, help getting the product owner to help you coach around cadence based on what they're seeing and feeling from the pulse of your network or your business owners. Okay. That second one, that collaboration right there, there could be some issues with collaboration, maybe not on your team, but maybe outside of your team that you need some help with. And perhaps the product owner can give you some insight to that. So I'm asking Scrum Master and product owner, really, this is kind of a workshop for you guys. I'm thinking in terms of, you know, these three C's right here, there are some inhibitors to your collaboration right now. Let's try to identify those and see if you can get the product owner to help you with that. Again, may it be inside your team or it may be outside of your team. If it's something that's external, perhaps the product owner knows something on the other side. And what you got to do is you got to go three seats up. Y'all remember me talking about an episode? I don't know if I actually did it or not. Did I do the three seats down episode? I think I did. Or at least talked about the three seats down approach when we're getting to the bottom of the story and what it is that we really need from like a requirement standpoint or what the user needs. Get in the seat. And so when we're talking about collaboration, it could be that you have to go up three seats, you know, not to maybe the team member, not to maybe the team's direct manager, but maybe something over that, right? And it's probably going to be in the program level where you find out if you're practicing safe. That's probably where you're going to find out where some of the disconnects in the collaboration is. And so just focus on these three areas. Again, if you're focusing on these three C's, these three areas, cadence, collaboration, and commitment as a scrum master, and you're focusing on coaching those and you're focusing on improving those three areas, then that's really going to go a long way in creating a high efficient, a high production team. Okay. Finally, the commitment. That's the final C here that I'll talk about real quick. Where are the struggles with the commitment from the team? And again, it doesn't have to be related necessarily to actually delivering it to production. Again, that is our goal, right? We want to produce potentially shippable code. We want to get it in the hands of the users as fast as we can so we can get the fast feedback to tell what our next steps are, right? But if the team is struggling with commitment, perhaps there's a conversation with the product owner. And hey, listen, product owner, quit shoving all this work down our throats and asking us to shove 10 pounds of sugar into a 5-pound bag. When I think of commitment, it kind of corresponds to cadence. Commitment corresponds to cadence. That's another three C's. That's too much alliteration for me. Anyway, when I think in terms of commitment, one of the things that I go to, kind of my go-to is, and we had a conversation about this with a friend of mine the other day, a counterpart, about commitment if we're working in Scrum. Do you use WIP limits? Do you use work in progress limits in Scrum? I always used WIP limits when I was working in Scrum. I say always, not really. When we needed it, when I felt like we needed it, when I felt like we had too many requests coming in and the team was overcommitted. What you want to do is not, you want to start something and finish it. You don't want to start it and stop it. So that's part of the commitment piece of it right there. So Scrum Master, if you go back to your product owner and say, look, here are some things going on that I need to help the team with for commitment. We need to get this over the hump, right? Get it over the finish line. So what are some of the things that we can impact with that? So again, Scrum Masters, focusing on cadence, collaboration, and commitment. Those are your three C's of coaching. Now, is that you actually doing that work? No, it's you setting kind of the mindset for the team, helping them, coaching them on these three areas. And if you're focusing on those three areas alone, and really just make it a priority. Now, I know you've got all other duties assigned, okay? And I know you got to play a lot of different roles, just like the product owner does. But really, in today's world, everybody does, right? But for a Scrum Master, if you're just focusing on cadence, collaboration, and commitment, and that's your primary focus areas of coaching it down to the team, you're going to find out just how productive your teams can be. So we've got to think in terms of what are some of those things that we can actually do and put our hands on. So refer back to that episode. I just wanted to bring it up and make sure, because I'm introducing to you in the next segment the three R's for the product owner. And again, this is based on Scott's observation and experience. I'm just an empirical kind of guy. I've adopted the framework a lot, adopted the mindset a lot. So there are three R's to me that are most important for a product owner to focus on, and I'm going to share those with you in the next segment. So stick around. It's amazing to me that this will be the last segment of season 5. Wow, that's hitting me kind of hard, guys. I appreciate your time and tuning in. So we talked about the three C's of coaching for the Scrum Master to be effective. What I'm trying to describe to you guys is, if you boil it all down and you think about what it is to be successful, what are some of the things that you want to do to really, really impact and improve your practice as being a Scrum Master? Those are the three things. Let's talk a little bit about the product owner now and shift gears. So I don't know if I've shared this with you the way that I'm going to share it with you today, but I have typically coached and I have found that there are three R's for the product owner to be successful, like there are three C's for the Scrum Master. Now, I'm not saying this is all you have to do. What I am saying is, I've been asked before, so what is the magic, you know, kind of what is the magic potion here on becoming a highly effective product owner, assimilating into this role. I've got so many things to do, so many different irons in the fire, right? And I've told you guys too that we have a lot of opportunity in this world, in this business, particularly when we're practicing agility, right? And we're becoming more agile, of setting and managing expectations. And I think that's really important for product owners. When you think in terms of, okay, what is it that people are always asking you, okay, as a product owner? People inside the organization, they're asking you, when can your team have it done? Can your team do this, do that, right? They also ask you things like, when will it be ready? They ask you, what is in your way or what is the risk, right? And, you know, what would keep us from doing this? They ask you that question a lot, right? And they also ask you, without asking you, really, they ask you what your priorities are. So these three things or three or four things just kind of come up all the time to us as a product owner. It doesn't matter what role we're in or what organization we're in or what kind of business model we're practicing in. These things are typically going to come up. And so here's my answer to that. If you can focus on three things, just pick three areas there that you're going to focus on and make this your own, again, just like anything else that I'm going to coach you on, because it is a podcast and I'm limited to like individual coaching sessions with you, but I want to share with you. So these three things, I'm going to give you three things for those of you who are writing it down, because I know sometimes you guys do that. So the first one is ranking. The second is roadmap. And the third is readiness. These three areas, ranking, you can kind of equate to prioritization. It's just, I don't use prioritization a lot of times because prioritization takes on a new meaning depending on who you're talking about. But I do believe that our priorities are, should be ranked. And if a product owner can focus on ranking your what it is that you want to have done. Now, ranking corresponds with sequencing. I want to be clear on that. So if you're in a product by itself, right, and each of the modules, for example, within your product need some attention, need some love, you should be ranking what it is that you are wanting to get done, okay, what those priorities are. Rank those guys. And in addition to that, the sequencing of it kind of plays hand in hand. So I think we all get the idea that we have to have A before we can have B, and we have to have B before we can have C. Now, part of this ranking piece right here corresponds to what we will find in the second one is in your roadmap, okay? When we're talking about a roadmap, again, we're not talking about anything necessarily fancy, but what I would like to be able to see in a roadmap is the ability for us to provide built-in quality checkpoints along the way. What do I mean by that? Well, I've got a video, I think, out on YouTube about it. But the idea for me here is that I want to try this thing and expose this functionality to a small segment of users. And I don't want to give them all of the bells and whistles. I just want to see if they can use it, right? If they're going to take advantage of it. And I'm going to set some pretty tight conditions or preconditions around who can access it. Then my next effort, I'm going to loosen the conditions or loosen the controls around it and maybe spruce it up a little bit. So I'm going to give it to maybe a different user segment and include the ones that I already released it to. And then the next time that we iterate on this and we put this package out, then I'm going to offer the entire piece of the suite or the piece of the product or the area of the program, right, or the system. I'm going to go ahead and expose that to all of the eligible users who can do it. I'm not going to have any limitations or preconditions on it, and we're going to go full board. Well, there's a reason why we want to iteratively or even incrementally roll it out that way, because we want to have the fast feedback, right? And so if I can build that plan inside of my roadmap based on the ranking that I've been focusing on, now I have built-in quality checkpoints along the way that I can test and validate my theory with instead of trying to go totally blue sky day one. Now, sometimes going blue sky day one works great in some environments, not so much in others. Okay, I think we get that. But the idea for me is that when we're thinking of becoming agile or practicing agility, particularly in, you know, what we're doing, right? Most of you guys are in Safer and Scrum. The idea for us here is that we want to get the fast feedback. And I know what happens with product management. They say, whoa, wait a minute. I got to be able to have it all, because if I can't have it all in this PI, then we'll never get it. So that's why I'm asking you to do everything. Well, it's on you, product owner, really, to help them prioritize and sequence that in a way and sell them on the value of the built-in quality check along the way. So we can produce this, we can test it, then we can get it out. Well, I still won't be able to get it all. Well, you may not need it all, right? And if you still feel like you need it all after that feedback comes in, then guess what? That's about prioritization, which goes back to what? The first R, ranking. So you see how these are correlating now. So ranking and roadmap. The thing about the roadmap, too, that I want to make sure that you're aware of is that if you don't have a visible socialized roadmap, someone else is going to socialize it for you if it's just visible or if it's not visible and you're not socializing it. But more than that, which is the biggest problem for product owners and product management, generally speaking, is without that visualized, socialized roadmap, people begin to believe that you don't have any priorities. So it's okay for them to go in and hijack your backlog or hijack your team's work. So it's really important for you to focus on these. Now you see why the ranking, the roadmap, and finally, the readiness. This is the piece. This is the third R for you to focus on as a product owner. This readiness piece. Now, I did put out a YouTube video, I think, on the definition of ready. Tread lightly, my friends. I don't ever advocate for over-processing something. You may or may not need a definition of ready. I think of it as entry criteria more than I think about it as a definition of ready, if you think of it that way. So if your organization is having like this major meltdown over the idea of incorporating a definition of ready, or if they're pushing you into a definition of ready, another way to say it could be entry criteria. That's something that resonates with PMO. It's something that resonates with the rest of the organization, probably if you have gone through a transformation and you're worried about maybe some of the domain language that you're using and promoting. The other thing of it, too, is that we don't want to strap the developers from their creativity. We don't want to say we want to have everything absolutely 100% defined before the team commits to it, because now we're just doing Agile. You remember that? And we don't just do Agile. We are Agile. We are becoming Agile. So this readiness idea, though, what I'm really talking about here for the product owner is spending the time in your backlog, in your share care time with your personal backlog, your elaboration station, whatever you call it, okay? Get in that backlog and make sure that you're identifying the snags, the snafus, the catch points, the traps, the enablers, all of that stuff. Make sure that we're getting as ready as we can. I'm going to go back to an old phrase, keep your front porch clean, okay? Go out there and make sure that you are identifying some of the spots that we might have trouble with. Anticipate the objections, anticipate the risks, anticipate the contracts that need to be signed, okay? And so maybe even some of the pre-work that needs to be done ahead of it, like enablers or runway work from other teams or external contributors for your team, right? So this readiness piece of it is always about what is in scope or what is being asked and what is not being asked. So the quicker you can identify your positive test cases and your negative test cases, your primary systems and your primary actors, your primary main flows and alternate flows, and also provide your exception paths or your exception flows. And that can be done, you know, with use cases or without use cases, it doesn't matter. If you're following my guidance on writing user stories and writing seed stories, you're going to qualify that actor and qualify that system in the user stories or in the seed stories that you're writing ahead of the team when you get the idea. And if you're following that guidance, then you're going to really eliminate a lot of the need, in my mind, for a use case. Now, unless you're just working with the system stuff, okay? So in any event, roadmap, ranking, readiness. Those are the three R's. So you want to be an effective product owner? Spend the majority of your time focusing on those three areas of your practice, and it's going to help you and the team be a lot more successful because you're going to jump out ahead of most of the objections. You're going to anticipate what's coming, manage and mitigate risks, set and manage expectations, and everybody's going to know then what's next, what we're having trouble with, where our priorities are, and even how much capacity we have for going forward. Okay. So I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. It's a final recap here of season 5. I won't be publishing another episode until the start of the new year at least. So this will be it for now. And until next time, have a safe, fun, lean journey, my friends.